be facing Scott Walker, the executive of Milwaukee County. Scott's been in our church, if you remember. He spoke at a Veterans Day service about 5 or 6 years ago. Rather than bring along a staff with them, they wanted to send their staff to church wherever they wanted to go, and they wanted to come and worship with us, so they drove over here alone. They'd make their home in Oconomowoc. Mark.
It's okay. Okay.
Mark is an educator, a teacher. He served 2 terms as a U.S. congressman. He also was in charge of developing several charter Christian schools in Milwaukee. They have over 1,000 students there. And they have also started a charter Christian school in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're thrilled about that. Presently, he's a businessman, a developer, building single-family homes. He and his wife, Sue, attended our district conference in Elkhart Lake at the Osthoff and were such a blessing. And we wanted them to come and greet you. And we're just so thrilled to have you here with us, Mark and Sue. And we want you to take your liberty, okay?
Thank you, and what a privilege it is to be here and share our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the most important thing in our lives. I'll start with just a little more background on Sue and I. I met this lovely young lady in a 4th grade Sunday school class when my family moved to East Troy, Wisconsin. I sat down, and pretty much I realized right away that the Lord had been very generous to us in allowing me to see this and meet this young lady. I can tell you what she wore to 6th grade as we did our Christmas things. I can tell you what she wore in confirmation when she sat next to me. I can tell you what she was like in high school because we dated all through high school except for the year that she says she gave me off for bad behavior, and we don't talk about out here very much. It's been the, you know, when I think about earthly blessings, when I think about the greatest blessing that the good Lord could put into my life, I have to look to my wife, Sue. We celebrated our 37th wedding anniversary, and she is absolutely everything you could want. She's also a tremendous mom of our 3 kids. We've got 3 adult kids and 3 grandchildren. Number 4 is on the way. And for those of you that have grandchildren, you know what a wonderful blessing that is as well. And we hope to see our grandkids today. Even in the middle of a political race, we take time out for the things that are most important in our lives. And that includes our Lord and Savior, includes worship, but it also includes our family and our grandkids. It's, you know, otherwise people get lost in this political thing. And it's just very, very easy to get totally lost. And that's how I think we get confused a lot of times. When I think about our nation and what a privilege it is to live in the United States of America, and then I start thinking about how we got into politics in the first place. We had no background, no career in politics in any way, shape, or form. I started as a math teacher, and then we'd started a business in the base of our home. We were home builders, struggled, worked hard, like a lot of people do in this nation. And we got to a point in our lives where we were building about 120 homes a year, 250 jobs had been created, reasonable success in the business world, but more important than that, we were very active in our church, very active in our community, and our family was great. We started thinking about this great nation that we live in and what a privilege it is to live in the state of Wisconsin, the United States of America. And there's a part of Scripture I'd like to share with you, because when I think about America and when I think about our future and our potential future in this country and how we got to where we are today, I think the basis for it's actually found in Scripture. And I'm going to share with you a part of Scripture. By the way, do you know how to tell when you're getting old? You think it's glad? No. It's when your kids get you a large print Bible and you still have to wear glasses to read it. This part of Scripture that I'd like to share with you, it's found at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this is Jesus Christ himself speaking, and you may recall in the book of Matthew that he really spells out a whole way of life in the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the most beautiful parts of Scripture, I believe. And this is right at the end. He's kind of wrapping up his Sermon on the Mount, and this is what Jesus Christ says. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, yet it could not fall because it had its foundation on a rock." Well, folks, I apply that part of Scripture to the United States of America, and I look at the foundation upon which this nation was built. I look back on, like, George Washington's words, and I quote, "While we are zealously performing our duty of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian," our founding father, our first president, or our third president, Thomas Jefferson. "For it's God who gave us liberty, and can the liberty of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God?" He goes on to say, "I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrine of Jesus Christ." Benjamin Franklin, "Here's my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs by its providence, and that he ought to be worshipped." Folks, as I go through these, and that's just scratching the surface. You know, our founding fathers, they risked their lives and their fortunes to give us the United States of America. And they did it. They risked everything to give us this nation. And they gave us a nation that was built on a rock-solid foundation, understanding that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that Christian principles as found in our Bible should be used as a basis for making decisions to govern our land. And there's something else really important. They weren't bashful about talking about it. Somehow in our nation today, we've gone away from that, and we really need to get back to that. It wasn't just our founding fathers. As you fast forward through history, you'll find that the same thing was throughout the history of this great nation. That rock-solid foundation has been passed on from generation to generation. One of the most moving things in Washington, D.C., the first trip we took there with our three kids, is the Lincoln Memorial. And if you walk up the stairs to the Lincoln Memorial, it's almost like Abe Lincoln is looking down on you. And you look to the right, and his second inaugural speech, the second inaugural speech of the President of the United States, he was not in a church talking like I am today, where it's somewhat easier to just openly talk about our faith and in our Lord and Savior. He was speaking to the nation, openly speaking to the nation. When he did his second inaugural address, he mentions our Lord and Savior, he mentions the Creator, he mentions God in that five-paragraph speech about 15 times. That's on the right on the Lincoln Memorial. When you look to the left, I suspect if I start this, you'll all know it. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth in this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And at the end of that speech, you know what he says? That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Folks, the point I'm making is this rock-solid foundation that the United States of America has had throughout its history has been passed on to us and into our generation. And it's up to us now to make sure that that is passed on to future generations, because when you read on in this part of Scripture, here's the rest of what it says. This is the end words now of the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, he says, "Those who hear my words and put them into practice, like a wise man who built his house on a rock." And when the streams came, folks, streams in the United States of America, problems facing America, when those problems hit us, our rock-solid foundation will carry us through, and the United States of America will go on to future generations. But listen to what else he says. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sands, and the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Folks, when I think about the future of the United States of America and what our responsibility is in this generation, we need to make sure that that rock-solid foundation, and be very clear on this, it's our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's helping our kids understand that the biblical principles that are laid out for us in Scripture should be used as a basis for governing our lives. And if you're in government or if you're in elected office, they should be the basis for making decisions that you use for governing our state and our country. Folks, we have to take this place back if we're going to preserve that rock-solid foundation for future generations in the United States of America. There are so many parts of Scripture I'd love to share with you, but I will just mention one other part that's very special to me. And you know, throughout the years, I've been a teacher, and then when we started that business in the basement of our house, not knowing if we'd make it or not, like many people who start a business, fighting our way through it, and then running for Congress, losing two races, trying to figure out what the good Lord had in store for our lives, and then coming, winning the third race, serving in Congress, having that privilege of serving out there for 4 years, and then back in the business world, 26 years total. I'm now running for office again. You know, I think about all those different parts of my life, and I come back to one part of Scripture that's really carried me through. And I'm not going to read all of it to you, but I would refer you to it. It's also in the Sermon on the Mount. It's actually the what I call the worry section, and it's in chapter 6, starting at verse 25. And, you know, there's so many great parts of that section. I'm just going to read the first and the last. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about what you will eat or you drink or your body or what you will wear, or whether you're going to win the election or lose the election, or whether you're going to come through this recession, or whether your home building companies are going to survive, or whether the paychecks are going to keep coming. Don't worry about what you'll about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than these, more than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." And my favorite part of Scripture, for those of you that have any sorts of worries on your mind today, it says, "Therefore," this is the last verse in what I call the worry section. It's actually chapter 34. It says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble all of its own. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Folks, it just puts everything in perspective in terms of how we approach our lives and how we approach everything in our lives. Folks, I have great hopes for the future of the United States of America. My hopes are based and predicated on the fact that we, the people in this church and others like us around our country and our state, are going to restore our nation and an understanding of the biblical principles upon which this nation was built, because that gives us the rock-solid foundation that future generations need. I'd like to close with my dreams. It's also based on a part of Scripture, and not surprisingly, it's also found in the Sermon on the Mount. These words talk about our future, and they talk about what each of us should be doing in our lives. I'd like to just share with you, it's in chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, and it's in Matthew again. It says, "You are the light of a world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may share your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Folks, I'd like to give you my hopes and dreams for the future of the United States of America and for the great state of Wisconsin. My hopes and dreams are that a generation from now, many of us will be up there watching down. They'll be looking back on history, and they'll say, on this day in history, the year 2010, it was the start of a rejuvenation of the greatest nation in the world, the United States of America, because people put their light, their faith in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they put it up on a stand so other people can see it. And pretty soon they started in their own house, and other people saw it in their house. Pretty soon the people in their community saw that light on that stand. Pretty soon, other communities around the state saw that light, and pretty soon, the whole United States of America becomes one bright light, a city on a hill, for other nations to look to understand that our Christian principles are a rock-solid foundation upon which to build for our future. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here, and God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Mark and Sue Newman. Put your hands together for the Lord. Would you do that?